We welcome back our good friend, David Landis. Thanks for being here. You know, I think of you every morning, because when I daven in Rinat, I assume that's you, it says that something was donated by David and Faye Landis. Is that you and your wife? That's your name, so okay. So I guess from the building, the parochas maybe, so there's something. So I see you, I think of you every single morning, because when I put on my tefillin, I'm standing right across from that plaque that says something donated by you and your wife. So we thank you for your donation to Congregation Rinat Yisrael of Teaneck, New Jersey. Okay, Zos Chanukah. What is? We spoke a little bit last night about Zos Chanukah. But what exactly is Zos Chanukah? What are the feelings that a Jew is supposed to have as he comes to the last day of Chanukah? So it's important to first understand on the simplest level, why is Zos Chanukah called Zos Chanukah? We'll start from Pshat and we'll go try to go a little bit deeper and understand what it's about. But if you ever want to understand some of just the basic principles, minhagim, and rules and regulations of the calendar year, so if you want a deeper understanding of those things, you look in the B'nai Yisachar. If you want a basic overview of basic Jewish living throughout the calendar year, a good place to look is Eliyahu Ki Tov's Sefer HaTodah, the Book of Our Heritage. It's one of those books that you may have received for your bar mitzvah and still have yet to open. So we'll open it together. Okay, you can see on page 1, in the top right-hand corner, he mentions that there is a practice to refer to this day as Zos Chanukah, and he gives us Pashup Shad. Pashup Shad and why it's called Zos Chanukah. Liyom Ha'achon Shal Chanukah Korim Zos Chanukah Al Shem Siyum Parshas HaNasiyim Shekorim Bo Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach Biyom Himashach Ozom. Why is it called Zos Chanukah? Pashup Shad, the laning. The Kriyas HaTorah of today is Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach. Now the Kriyas HaTorah of today has a lot of parts to it. But apparently Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach is sort of the most outstanding part of today's Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore this day took on the nickname Zos Chanukah. Okay, he goes on to give some other explanations, but I wanted to just start with that, again, just by way of introduction, that Zos Chanukah, if you're not looking for anything beyond the surface, you should understand that Zos Chanukah is named after today's Kriyas HaTorah. But I think most of us are looking for things beyond the surface, so let's try to understand a little more what the nature of Zos Chanukah is. In Parshas Va'era, on page number 2, Moshe Rabbeinu has been in a lot of negotiations with Paro, a lot of discussion. Paro has seen many things, and yet Paro is maintaining his stubborn approach. Yehoshua Levi explains the pasuk Vayifen Paro ve'avo beso v'loshas libo gam lezos. Paro was not impressed by Zos. So Kedushas Levi gives us a klal on understanding the word Zos, and I think it'll be a helpful klal on understanding what Zos Chanukah is. What is the word Zos? It's a code word. What does Zos mean? We mentioned last night, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, at the very beginning, it says, Ein Zos Ela Torah. That Zos is synonymous with Torah. V'Zos HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe. Okay, but Kedushas Levi gives us another understanding of this code word Zos, and it helps us to understand the word Zos whenever it appears. Vayavur al derech Masha Amru Chazal, he quotes from Tikkuni Zohar, Tikkun Chaf Aleph. Bizos Yavo Aaron Ela Kodesh. We know there's a strong link between the Avodah of Yom Kippur, Aaron HaKohen entering into the Kodesh, and Zos Chanukah, which according to Sefer Chassidus is the end of the entire Tshuva period. Bizos Yavo Aaron Ela Kodesh. What's Bizos? Says Tikkuni Zohar, Bizos Romez al Knesset Yisrael. Zos is Merames to Knesset Yisrael. Now, Knesset Yisrael is itself a difficult term to understand what that means. Does Knesset Yisrael mean Klal Yisrael? Does Knesset Yisrael mean the Shechina? Different ways to understand exactly what that phrase means. Let's keep reading for now. Uve'emes lama Zos romes al Knesset Yisrael. Why is it that Zos is a code word for Knesset Yisrael? Again, the simplest explanation is that Aaron is entering as a shliach of Klal Yisrael with the backup of Klal Yisrael. If you remember, we said that in the Mishnah in Yoma, there is Askinimo, Kol Alayla, both those who are with him and those who are not with him. The people of Yerushalayim stayed up all night with the Kohen Gadol. They're trying to mechazek him. They're davening for him. They're saying Tehillim with him. They're singing with him. They're trying to do a lot of things to keep him as the shliach of Klal Yisrael in a very strong place. Uve'emes lama Zos, Romez al Knesset Yisrael. So why is it such that this word Zos is a remez, is hinting to Knesset Yisrael, ki be'emes kol ha'olamos lo nivro elu b'shvil Yisrael. We know very well that Bereishis b'shvil Yisrael shenikra Bereishis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the goal was to create a world for Klal Yisrael, for B'nai Yisrael, for Knesset Yisrael. Heim ha'ikar ha'gorim l'briyas ha'olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was deciding should he create the world, he looked to the potential of Klal Yisrael. Bereishis b'shvil Yisrael shenikra Bereishis. Or the Lashon of the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nimlach, Im Nishma Seim Shel Tzadikim. Hashem took the advice, the counsel of the Neshamos of those people who had never even come to this world yet. Ba'am Mechulam Tzadikim. Hashem turned to the Jewish people and said, can you commit yourself to doing something good? And Klal Yisrael said, yes. Hashem said, that commitment is enough for me to create the world. Which is why every year when we get to the month of Elul, the Zman when HaKadosh Baruch Hu began the process of creating the world, on Chaf HaElul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu again looks to Klal Yisrael to make a commitment. By Elul time, we're embarrassed of a year full of Averos. It's the end of the calendar year from, if you're counting from Tishrei. The Averos have piled up. And to say that I'm going to be able to do something right now that's going to be so significant that's going to change everything I've done the past year is unrealistic. So I make a Kabbalah. Elul is the amount of Kabbalah. I say, I'm going to try to do this better. I'm going to try to do that better. I'm getting myself ready for Rosh Hashanah. So when the new year comes, all these Kabbalahs can hopefully take effect. But the B'nai Yisrael says, just like when Hashem originally created the world, at the end of Elul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to create the world based on that conversation with the Neshamos of what we would do in the future, so too every year we have to revisit that conversation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Neshamos of Klal Yisrael and says, I know you're in a bad place right now, I know you're kind of just waiting for Tishrei to start, but at least be makabel something. Say you're going to do something. I have all these bad things hanging over me. Hashem says, it doesn't matter. When I created the world, it wasn't based on anything you had done. It was based on what you were going to do. And I'm giving you a chance to recreate yourself based on what you're going to do. That's what it means, b'shvil Yisrael shenikarashis. That's what it means, nimlach b'nishma seyem shal tzadikim. This was the game plan. Hashem looked to the potential of Klal Yisrael and he said, that's why I want to create the world. That's the ikar goreim l'briyas ha'olam. And now we understand why the Jewish people are called Zos. Zos yavo Aaron al kodesh. Zos means klomar. Zos hu ikar v'hagorim. Zos. If there's a lot of things in front of me and I'm trying to identify the main thing, right? And I point to it, like Klal Yisrael by Kriyas Yamsuf. Zek keli vanvei. Zos is the same idea. Zos. I'm identifying amongst all the many things. This is the main thing. That's why Klal Yisrael is called Zos, because they are the main thing. They're the main thing of the world. It was the main motivation for Kiviyachol, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world. V'zeh ha-remez, v'zos ha-bracha, asher beirach Moshe. Zos ha-bracha, this is the ultimate bracha that Moshe gave to Klal Yisrael. The bracha of Klal Yisrael, the bracha for Knesset Yisrael that Moshe gave in his dying days. The Kan, she-Moshe hera le-paro. When Moshe appears before Paro, and he says, Power, you have to understand, I know you think you're the king of the world. You rule the greatest nation on planet Earth from the physical perspective. Right? Egypt was the world power at the time. And I know you think you're the Iker, but let me tell you something, Paro. This little group of Adim that you've been oppressing for so many years, they're the Iker. They're the Tachlis of the Bria. Paro was not interested in this. And that's what it means. The Pasuk says that Paro did not turn his heart to Zos. He says, you're telling me, Klal Yisrael, these people, this is what God likes? These little slaves have been schlepping for me for 210 years? Can't be. Paro was not impressed by Zos. But what emerges from this Kedusha slavery is a very important yisod, which is what? Which is that the word Zos means the essence of something. Right? The Iker. Again, that key line is that Zos means Ha'ikar v'hagorim l'briyas ha'olam. Klomar, Zos hu ikar v'hagorim. When we talk about Zos Chanukah, we're saying that this is the ikar of Chanukah. This is what it's all about. This is what we've been waiting for. I'll tell you, personally, for myself, I felt the most connection to lighting the menorah on the first night and the last night, which makes perfect sense. It makes sense emotionally, on a just plain human type of way, that at the beginning of something there's an excitement, and when you realize something's coming to an end, there's also a different type of an excitement. So on that level it makes sense, but in Torah it also makes sense. In Torah it also makes sense that I would have felt the way that I felt. I'm not saying I didn't feel anything on the other nights, but I certainly felt more connected, I felt more empowered and energized by lighting the menorah on the first and the last night. And that makes a lot of sense. The first night of Chanukah really, in some ways, contains all of Chanukah within it. How do we know such a thing? Let me read you the Gemara, the Lashon of the Gemara. In the famous Gemara that describes my Chanukah. My Chanukah, right? Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. My Chanukah, Ditana Rabbanan. Listen to this Lashon. Bechav hei bekislev yomei dechanukah t'manya inun. A literal translation would be the following. On the 25th of Kislev, here, my Makom, let's pass these down, please. On the 25th of Kislev, are the days of Chanukah, which are 8. So again, you could say, what it's trying to say is that on the 25th of Kislev begins the 8 days of Chanukah, which then subsequently go for 8 24-hour periods. But a literal reading doesn't read that way. And the truth is, if you open up the Shulchan Aruch to the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, the Mechaber uses this Lashon. On the 25th of Kislev are the 8 days of Chanukah. The Ramah throws in parentheses, on the 25th of Kislev begin the 8 days of Chanukah. As if we didn't understand what the Shulchan Aruch was trying to say. The Mechaber didn't make sense. So Sefer Chassidus, the Imre Amis, and others explain that on the 25th of Kislev sort of contains all 8 days of Chanukah. Right? And the apple seed that contains all the future apples that will be able to grow from that, right? I plant that apple seed, I grow an apple tree, and it has apples, which has more seeds. And all of that energy is contained within that initial seed. So too, at the beginning of something, at the beginning of a Yom Tov, and it fits nicely with what we learned yesterday in Chagiga, right? That Tosos Rebiki Veger. That if you're not eligible at the beginning of the Yom Tov, then you haven't really been makabel the Yom Tov. Right? And you'll be exempt from the Karbanos, like we saw yesterday in Mishnayos. So the beginning of the Yom Tov is sort of contains all of the energy of the Yom Tov. And again, as time goes on, it unfolds. But that first burst of inspiration, that's a precise reading of this Gemara. On the 25th of Kislev are the 8 days of Chanukah. All 8 days are contained within. So in some sense, the beginning of Chanukah is the Ikar. Right? Some sense, the beginning of Chanukah is the Ikar. In another sense, the end of Chanukah is the Ikar. Because just like a candle, when it's about to go out, it spurts up one last time, one last burst of light. So at the end of something, there's also a burst of energy. This is also part of the Machlokas Beishamah Bishilah. Should I start with 8 and go down to 1? Should I start with 1 and go up to 8? Where is the main part of Chanukah? Okay, but this idea that Zos Chanukah is the Ikar of Chanukah, it's the essence of Chanukah, I think is what perhaps Kedushas Levi is setting us up to feel and to realize. That Zos means the essence of something. So Hasemes, on page 3, has a few pieces on Zos Chanukah. They're hard pieces to read. I think we've been pretty successful in the last number of weeks. This is our 10th Sfas Emes here. I think we've been pretty successful in reading Sfas Emes, trying to decipher his words, but there's a lot of pieces here. I'll tell you, I don't fully know how to read this piece, but let's read it together. Zos Chanukah, al shem shekorin bo Zos Chanukah Samizbeach. We'll read on the left-hand side first. Zos Chanukah is named so because of Zos Chanukah Samizbeach. The Kriyas Torah, okay, like Sefer Todah told us, that's Pashim Pshah. Ha'inin hu al pima shekasuv tov achris davar mireishiso. Tov achris davar mireishiso. Better is the end of a matter than the beginning. All's well that ends well. Right? The end is the most significant. And again, we see in Torah thought, sometimes the beginning of something is most significant. Starting off right is the Iker. Kedusha Rishona, Kidsha L'Shata, V'Kidsha L'Asid Lavo. The Majlis Rebbe explained, Kedusha Rishona, if the Kedusha is formed from the beginning, then it will be Kedusha L'Shata, U'Kedusha L'Asid Lavo. It'll last. If my foundation is shaky, then the whole thing's going to crumble. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is like Rashi tells us, when a person starts a mitzvah, over Melo Gemor, we tell him to finish the job. Because the one who finishes the job is the one who gets all the star. So the way I end something is really the essence of that thing. The truth is, this pasuk in Kohelet can be read in both ways. Again, the simple reading is Tov Achas Dav Merishiso. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Which is how, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, they try to mechazek who? Elisha ben Avuya. When Elisha ben Avuya was having his, you know, Amunah crisis. Right? They tried to mechazik him. They said, Elisha, you could change. I know you've taken on this new identity called Acher, but you could change. Tov Acher is Davar Mirishiso. You can come back. You can end strong. And he says, it's not true. How did he read the Pasuk? Tov Acher is Davar, the end can be good, Mei Reishiso. If it's founded upon a strong Reishis. If it's not, then you can't come back. And as Chazal identified, like Tosfos brings in Chagiga, They go das tesvav. He brings that whole Yerushalmi, points to different things that were corrupted about Acher from the beginning of his formation. When he was in his mother's womb, already things were messed up. His mother was smelling the smell of things, of Vodazara, Karbanos, and being inspired by them. And all sorts of, his father had bad intentions about how he wanted to raise him. There were all sorts of things that went wrong very, very early on in the life of Elisha ben Avliya. And even though he was able to live as a Tana for many years, eventually it fell apart. And he identified, told Achazam Rishis, my Rishis wasn't good. Okay, but Tosemis is reading it, Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah in the Pasuk is, Tov Achaz Dom Reishis, so the last of something is the Iker. And therefore, Zos Chanukah. This is Chanukah, Zos Chanukah. This is it. This is what it's about. The last day is what it's all about. Uvakoa Chanukah Samizbeach. And when we read, Zos Chanukah Samizbeach, Shayi Bekavana Ritzuya Lefanav Yisbarach, the establishment of the Mizbeach, which was done, Bekedusha Uvitara, with great purity. When we connect ourselves to that mizbeach, l'chein zochin b'doros achronim l'ha'aros ha'elu shahayu b'yamei Chanukah. What happened on Chanukah is being re-experienced by us at the end of time. And just like the end of Chanukah, the zos of Chanukah is the ikar of Chanukah, in a sense, the Jews at the end of time are the ikar, are the essence of time. Now again, right? We saw that the beginning of Chanukah is the ikar and the end of Chanukah is the ikar. So the same thing is true when we look at Jewish history. The Dor Dea, the generation that began it all and received the Torah at Har Sinai, they're the Ikar on one level. And us, the Ikvas of the Mashiach, who are trying to finish the job, are the Ikar on another level. Right? Who's objectively better? They're different. They're both the best. We're the best because we're going to bring Mashiach, and they're the best because they were the greatest generation of Jews that ever lived. So when we come to the end of Chanukah, and we attach ourselves to that pure Kavanah of the creation of Mizbeach, we're reliving it by Amim Ahim Bazman Azeh. V'zeh Aidus. V'chein v'ashakos v'torah zos chanukas haynu kanizkul el shanishar la'ola. That creation, that chanukas of Mizbeach, that dedication of the Mizbeach, is something that has a certain permanence to it. And therefore, when we come to Chanukah, the very name Chanukah means, right, the chinuch, the foundation, the rededication of something, I'm able from a very far distance from that original foundation to sort of be mechaber, achris, and rachis. I think that's what Sfasemis is saying. They began a process, and we're still able to continue that process. Because Chanukah means I can connect back to the Chinuch, back to where this whole thing began. Ki ayud beiz nesiyim himshichu ha'ara kavua b'chol yom. When the nesiyim were pounding this thing over and over, the same karba, no, karas kesavacha, each one, the same thing, again, and again, and again. I was thinking this morning during davening, as I was trying to listen to the laning. Like I said last night from Refrain Waxman, you have to try to enjoy the laning. That's the challenge of Chanukah, to have ischachus in a lane that repeats itself so many times. And I was trying to really enjoy it, trying to listen. And I was thinking, you know what this is like? This is like that drop of water that Rabbi Akiva saw falling on the rock again and again. That little drop that kept hitting and kept hitting and kept hitting, hoping that it would make an opening. Right? Rabbi Akiva realized that if you do it enough times, maybe there'll be a breakthrough. That's what Chanukah is. That's why we read the Parsha of the Nesiim so many times. Because Baruch was trying to pound this idea into us. That a person can karbanokar is kesav achas shalshu mea, again what all the Ramazim that the Bnei Shleshim and other svar bring as to what all those precise offerings correspond to. Karbano, Bnei Shleshim says karbano is gematria Mashiach. There's a big Indian, there's an awakening, right? The light of Chanukah is the light of the Mashiach. But we're trying to pound this idea into ourselves. The yud beiz nesiyim himshichu ha'ara kavua b'chol yom. Most of the time, when we're not holding by Chanukah, we can't tap back into that initial creation of the Nesiim. But on Chanukah, there's a reawakening of that original Chinuch, and we're able to tap back into it, and it's able to start pounding on us again. The Nesiim, they're offering, and hopefully, it leaves a mark on us. That's the avoda of Chanukah. The Chanukah should leave a mark on you. That's what the rest of the packet's going to be about this morning. How do we take Chanukah with us? How do we make sure that it leaves a mark on us? If you just look in the left hand, the right hand column, just very quickly, we know that the 12 Nesiim, the 12 Shvatim, rather, correspond to the 12 months. The 12 Nesiim are the representatives of each of the Shvatim. And therefore what? Just like each month has a Shevet, each month should have had a Yom Tov. Unfortunately, we lost the Yom Tovim Keneged the Shvatim. We only have Yom Tovim, the Shalosh Regalim Keneged the Avos. Lost in Lava, we hope to one day get back more Yom Tovim. But there's a little bit of an opening, a taste of the future on Chanukah, which is why the Nesiim are bringing their Karbanos again. Each Shevet, is coming around again. The Shvatim, which had lost their ability to be on the Madrega of the Avos, they're starting to have an awakening. Just read where it's underlined for 1 second. Achein b'chanaka yesh k'tzat psichas eila ha-sha'arim. L'chein korin b'chanaka karbanos nesim. It's a taste of the potential of the past, and it's a taste of the reality of the future. Where once again, we're going to have all of these Yom Tovim, again, k'neged, each of the nesim. In Taf Reish Mem, on page 4, Shnas Taf Reish Mem, 1880, Pasemis compares the end of Chanukah to the end of Sukkot. Now we learned yesterday that Sukkot has an eighth day, which is not really part of Sukkot. It's a regular Bifnei Atzmo, Shmini Atzeres. And yet there are times, like we saw in Tashlumin, right, there are times that eighth day becomes part of Sukkot. There are a lot of comparisons between Sukkot and Chanukah. That's a sheer Bifnei Atzmo, the connections between Chanukah and Sukkot. But one thing we could say is that just like the end of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres has a very unique quality to it. There's a certain feeling that a Jew feels on Shmini Atzeres when all of the karbanos k'neged the Umas Olam have been brought over the course of Sukkot, and now I just sit Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu with one little offering, the last little offering, just Klal Yisrael and Hashem in an intimate, private moment together. Says the Sfas Emes, the same way Shmini Atzeres is the gathering of all of the different pieces, so to speak, of Sukkot. They come together in a deep and intimate way in Shmini Atzeres. So too, Zos Chanukah is the gathering of all the pieces of Chanukah. And how do we see that in the laning of Zos Chanukah? Look what Sfas Emes writes. Uv'yom ha'achron shenikra Zos Chanukah korim bo parshas ba'aloscha. Ki yom ha'achron kolel kol hayamim. Kamo Shmini Atzeres. Atzeres is the lashon of what? What does the word atzeres mean? Stop. Right? To stop, it also means to gather. Ma'asev kol yimei achak. Atzeres is the ingathering of the entire Yom Tov. It's the time for a person to reflect on what he got over Sukkot. The last day of Chanukah, Zos Chanukah, is the day where we gather up the pieces from Chanukah. Kein b'Chanukah. And how do you see that? I mean, you could say, this is 8 days, that is 8 days. That's a nice comparison, but how do you know it to be true? Says Hashem, as uparshes Zos Chanukah samazbeach hukein. Shemikodem kosav prat hakrovas kol nasi. Every day we've been reading this nasi brought this nasi brought that. Again, it's the same thing that they're bringing, but we're highlighting the individual nasiim. On Zos Chanukah, what do? We add it all up. We put it all together. Ba'achar kach haklal, like in this morning's Kriyas HaTorah, it says b'sach hakol. This is what was brought. This is what was offered. Kamo kein b'Zos Chanukah. That's what Zos Chanukah is. Zos Chanukah is where we take all the pieces of Chanukah and we put them all together. We create something, right? We create a certain oneness out of this entire process called Chanukah. Va'yedeshu yom ha'achron kasha aleinu predas hayam tovim l'chein mash'ir yoser ha'ara al kol hashana u'misorer bo neros ha'menorah. He says, just like Shmini Atzeres, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, stay with me one more day, kasha alai predaschem, it's so hard to let you go. So too on Chanukah, there's a feeling of kasha alai predaschem. There's that same feeling of, I don't want to let go. And therefore, it's our job, what Hashem is saying, there has to be, Chanukah has to be the type of Yom Tov that doesn't end. When the Yom Tovim end, they end. Chanukah doesn't end. Shem Yishmuel brings from his father, the Avnei Nezer, a proof that Chanukah doesn't end. Purim also doesn't end. But Chanukah doesn't end. Why? Because it's the Yom Tov of Chol. And therefore, when the Yom Tov comes to an end, when Chanukah comes to an end, we don't recite Avdallah. We don't recite Avdallah. When Yom Tov ends, we recite Avdallah. Because we're transitioning from what was Yom Tov back into something else. Chanukah, there's no Avdallah. Why is there no Avdallah? Shem Yishmuel quotes from his father, the Avnei Nezer, there's no Avdallah because Chanukah doesn't end. The whole avodah of Chanukah is take it with you. Kasha elai predaschem. Hashem creates this feeling of it's hard to let go. As a remez to us, don't let go. We shouldn't let go. There's no reason to let go. Let it leave a mark on your home. Let it leave a mark on you as a person. Your bias of yourself. On page 5, one more piece of Sfas Emes. He quotes from the Chiddush HaRebbe. He quotes from his grandfather, the first Ger Rebbe, who was aware that there was a Lashon. Hera ha-lashon, b'ktsas nuschav, some have a nusach, the Baal Eter has it, the Shiltos has it. Mezuzah b'yamin, ner Chanukah b'smo, balabayis b'talas b'tuyesas b'emtza. The Gemara only talks about the mezuzah and ner Chanukah being on the two sides of the doorpost. But some, Rishonim, bring this girsa, that it's mezuzah, Chanukah, with a balabayis wearing his talas in the middle, surrounded by mitzvahs. Says the Chiddush Arim, Ve'ein amuvan ki ein tzitzis b'layla. Chiddush Arim said, I don't understand. What do you mean he's wearing tzitzis? He can't be wearing tzitzis. Tzitzis is a daytime mitzvah. He can't be wearing tzitzis at night. Although I once saw from Rabbi Yoilish, the Satmar Rebbe, and there were some tzaddikim who would put on their talis before lighting the menorah, and they would say, what do you mean? By me, b'shas hadlakas menorah, it's not nighttime, it's daytime. When the candles are burning, it's daytime. That's a radical thing. You can brach on your talis at night because you're in the presence of the menorah, it's mamish kula or. Okay, I'm not recommending that lahalacha. But at least we have a little bit of an understanding. Even the Chiddush Arim, who was quite the Rebbe, says, what are you talking about? Tzitzis b'layla? There's an Indian of tzitzis b'layla. So he says, I don't know. Eini zocher dvar. Aval nira ki al yedei mitzvas ner chanukah nishara ara la pesach. But he says, I'll tell you like this. Please, come on in.
Yes.
Special guest, amazing. Thank you. He says, I don't know what the deal with the tzitzis is. I don't remember what my grandfather Chiddush Arim said exactly. But this much I can tell you. What's the pshat with mezuzah and Chanukah? What's the relationship between the two? He says, the mezuzah leaves a mark on the door. It leaves a mark on the door. Right, you hammer it into the door, it leaves a mark on the door. It's hanging there. It's an identifiable item that you see when you enter your house. And therefore, the relationship between Ner Chanukah and mezuzah is kamo mezuzah. Just like the mezuzah leaves a mark on the door, the bias is changed when the mezuzah is hung. The goal is that the lights of Chanukah should also leave a mark by the Pesach HaBayis for the entire year. Again, the menorah is not going to be outside. It's not going to be sitting by the door or by the window for the rest of the year. But it's there. It leaves a mark. The avoda of Chanukah is that it should leave a mark on our homes. And now I think we understand why Chanukah centers around oil. Oil, more so than anything else, is very good at leaving a mark. Rav Pinchas Koritzer on page 6 in the Imre Pinchas describes, again, a Kabbalistic idea, but he brings it down, at least there's a little bit we could take from it on our own Madrega. B'shem HaRavzal B'sefer HaPardes Shar Archei HaKinuyim Isa D'Shechina Nikres Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. Shechina, which I said earlier, Knesset Yisrael is sometimes a code word for Shechina. The Shechina is compared to Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. Shechina is compared to Shemen. Why? On a very simple level for us to understand, what does that mean? Ki nimshechas mibechinas chachma ilah. Shemen is connected to chachma. We saw that in the Mishnah in Menachos. Shemen and chachma are related. And therefore Shechina, which descends from the chachma ilah, again, whatever that means, is connected to Shemen. Okay, that's beyond us. But what is for us? The next line is for us. The kamo shemen shenofal al habeged nishar reshimo la'olam. When oil splashes on something and you say, that's not coming out. That's there to stay. There's nothing I can do about it. Right? You drop some oil splash onto a new pair of shoes or something that you have. Right? And you know, that mark that you see right now, that's not going off. It's there forever. Kamo shemen shenofal al habeged nishar reshimo la'olam. Just like an oil stain is the deepest of stains, kach b'chol davar shebekedusha osa rosh l'olam. When the Shechina touches something, when the Shechina comes to a place, it leaves a mark. And that's why the Shechina is compared to Shemen. When there's Kedusha in a place, it leaves a mark. I'll tell you an amazing thing from a few parshios ago. What happens? Yaakov decides, I'm going to work things out between Yosef and the brothers. I saw this in a small sefer, a last will and testament, that was written by Rav Yekusil Yehuda Grunwald, or Greenwald. It's called the Zichron Av. He wrote a few ha'aros and ideas for his children to think about. But he's talking in the Sefer, he has one unbelievable heart from the Baal Shem Tov, who's the son of the Arugas Abosim, the Zichron Av. So he says in the Sefer, he says, Yaakov Avinu, it says to Yosef, Yosef, you know what? Your brothers and you have been fighting a lot. And now the brothers are out in the field, they're shepherding in Shechem. Why don't you go? I think it would be a great idea if you went to check on the brothers. So the Zichron Av says that's a suicidal mission. It doesn't make any sense. The feelings between the brothers and Yosef are raging. Yaakov says, Yosef, go by yourself. Go out there and see what's going on with the brothers. He knows the brothers are jealous of him. The brothers are so angry at him. What's the pshat? Why on earth would Yaakov send Yosef to the brothers? And if Yaakov did have some holy and pure kavana, if he had a great game plan, so why did it utterly fail? So he says, you have to read carefully. What does it say? The brothers had gone shepherding in Shechem. Yaakov says, "Vayomer Yisrael Yosef is in Parshat Vayeshev. Halo achecha roam b'Shechem. Go check on them. See what's doing in Shechem." So, Rav Greenwald explains as follows. He says, one time the Baal Shem Tov was driving in a wagon, and as he was going on the wagon, all of a sudden, having a pleasant ride, Talmidei Baal Shem Tov sitting by his side, nice conversation in the back. All of a sudden, the wagon driver stopped the wagon. He turns around. He has this crazed look in his face, and he starts attacking the Baal Shem Tov. He starts trying to pummel the Baal Shem Tovs. And the Talmidei were trying to pull this guy back, and the Baal Shem Tov gets knocked down to the bottom of the pile. And the Baal Shem Tov screams out to the Talmidim, "Stop! Don't worry about him. Just get the wagon moving. Pull the wagon. Hit the horses. Get the wagon moving." The Talmidim are trying to pull him up. Someone jumps in the front, starts hitting the horses. The wagon starts moving, and all of a sudden the guy calms down. Totally calms down. And he says, he's embarrassed. "I don't know what just came over me. That was crazy. That never happened before. I don't know what's going on. I'm so sorry." Moshem says, "It's okay. It's okay." He goes back to the front of the wagon and continues on his way. The Talmidim are all. Baal Shem Tov seems to be okay with this whole situation. Everyone else is totally bugging out. They say, "Rebbe, what just happened?" So he says, "The makom that we passed over just now, the place that the wagon had stopped for a moment, was the place that Kayin had killed Hevel. And there's such a deep hatred in that place that a person whose heart, whose neshama, is not in a healthy place, will be so powerfully influenced by just the reshima of that makom, the mark that was left on that place. Things that happen in a place leave a mark." That's the pshat when it says in Pirkei Avos, "Shnayim shiyoshim ve'ein v'neim divrei Torah." If two people sit together and there's no Torah spoken between them, it's a moshav leitzim. So, mimanoshav, what type of people are we talking about? We're talking about people we expect to speak Torah, so why aren't they speaking Torah? We're talking about people we don't expect to speak Torah, so what's the chiddush? So the Zichron Av says, you know what the chiddush is? We're talking about two guys who normally would be speaking Torah. You know why they're not speaking Torah? Because the place they're sitting is a moshav leitzim. Because the two guys who were sitting there before were talking nonsense the whole time. And there's a hashpa of the place. So when two people who normally would speak Torah sit down, the place is influencing them. It's a moshav leitzim. The place, the dirt beneath their feet is influencing them. Because there's a reshima. There's something left there. That was Yaakov's game plan. Says the Zichron Av, an amazing vart. Yaakov saw the brothers were shepherding where? In Shechem. Shechem was a place, historically for Klal Yisrael, where Klal Yisrael stood up for one another. Where they fought for Dina. It was a place of brotherly love. Yaakov said, if there's any place on planet Earth that Yosef and the brothers are going to reconcile their differences, it's in a place called Shechem. What went wrong? By the time Yosef came to Shechem, he's looking for his brothers. The fellow tells him, "Sorry, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my brothers. Where are my brothers?" "Oh, your brothers? They're in Dosan." "Oh, they're in Dosan." By the time Yosef got to Dosan, the hatred was still there and he was sold. But you see, there's a kalach of a when there's a davarship of kedusha that takes place, or a davarship of tumah that takes place, it leaves a mark. It leaves a mark. The shechina, kedusha in a place, leaves a mark. Shechina is like oil, because shechina, kedusha, leaves the deepest mark. Back in the Imre Pinchas, the Pinchas Karacher says, wherever the shechina dwells, that place is etched into it. Why is the kotel still standing? Why is the kotel still standing? Because the Shechina dwells there. The Shechina left a mark. A mark that's so deep that all of our enemies in Jewish history can't erase that mark. The kotel has to remain. It has to be that way. Hashem appeared to Avram in Eilon Emamri. The kosher. My nafka mina be'eza makom nir lo Hashem Yisparach. Ach lafiyan iskar le'el as yishapir. That place is marked, the place is changed. You should build a Beis Knesses in a holy place. If you can go to a place called Eilon Mamre, that's a good place. And therefore, Avram went back to the place that he previously had stood. Because he understood that the place has, again, a certain energy, because the place has been used in a holy way. Shinishar Sham Roshim. There's a mark. V'lakach, says Rabbi Pinchas Karzer, a great piece of advice when it comes to davening. Odama Omid L'Espal, Ve'eno Yochel L'Espal. A person standing in the same seat that he stands every single week in Shul. And he's just not feeling it. He comes into Shabbos, he rushes into Shabbos, and Kabbalah Shabbos is rolling, and he's not with it. And he's had some amazing davenings in that very same spot. And this week he's not feeling it. What's an Eitzah? Eitzah l'zeh sheyizkor ha'tfilah sheyispal be'ezah pam sheniro lo sheyispal ha'etiv. Think about a time that you had a good davening in that place. Remind yourself of the ground that you're standing on. It's holy ground. U'bavadai nishar sham reshimo me'osah tfilah. Try to tap into the residue, the holy residue, the remnant of that original tefillah. And that will be b'chazik you to be able to daven now. Concludes Rav Pinchas Karitzer, jumping ahead to the next column at the end. He says Chanukah was a dark time. Chanukah has all sorts of klipa. The Shlitas Yavan was a very heavy tumah, and yet there was a little bit of oil that emerged from within that place. And that drop of oil is something that leaves a mark. And that's why Chanukah leaves a mark in the calendar year. That's what the Shem Yishmael is saying from his father, Avni Nezer. There's no Havdalah at the end of Chanukah, because Chanukah doesn't end. The mark in the Begin, the Shemen, in the Begin, in the goof of a person, it's there forever. Let's just read the last three lines. V'zeh naseh b'chol Chanukah bitul haklipos, is that bit of oil, that bit of Kedusha that permeates so deep. V'mechanukah nishar harashimo l'chol hashana. Chanukah is something that continues throughout the entire year. What do you do when you have extra oil? I woke up this morning, I kept trying to refill last night, but not all my candles, my wicks were in bad shape by the end. And I wasn't able to, there's still some leftover oil. So what's the halach? What do you do with leftover oil? Oil that was, again, it was designated for a mitzvah. It shouldn't really be thrown out. Right? What do we do with it? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if you look on page 7, in Lahoros Nassim, Rav Nassim Gestetner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in the fifth volume of his writings on Mo'ad, in page 118, he says, in the Shulchan Aruch, he tells us what to do. Listen to this part. Hanoser b'yom ha'shmini min Hashem, and if there's leftover oil on the eighth day, hatzarech l'shiro hadlaka, oil that was designated for lighting, osolo midura v'sarfo b'fnei atzmo. You make a little bonfire, you just burn it. We don't want to use it for mundane purposes, we don't want to throw it out, we don't really want to save it until next Chanukah, although maybe we could. So what are we going to do with it? Just burn it. Don't benefit from it, just burn it for the sake of sending it back to Shemayim, so to speak. But Rav Nassim Gestetner says an amazing remez. Listen to how he reads it. V'yesh lomar remez b'zeh. Ki b'yom ha-shmini tzarech la'atzor, like we saw, Shmini of Chanukah is like Shmini Atzeres. It's an Atzeres. It's Zoyis Chanukah. It's gathering in all the pratim of Chanukah. It's the Kriyas HaTorah this morning that was Kolel. It added up all of the karbanos. A person on Zoyis Chanukah has to gather in everything. U'linsor b'kirbo as kedushas neros Chanukah l'chol ha-shana. He has to take the menorah with him. Just like the mezuzah leaves a mark on the door, the menorah has to leave a mark on the door. Our houses have to be changed. V'zeh ha-nosar b'yom ha-shmini. What's left over on the eighth day? Osolo medura shall hislavus asiyas ha-mitzvos. Make a bonfire out of it. You should draw from the neros of Chanukah enough hislavus, enough energy to carry you the entire year. That on those mornings that you're not feeling it, you should be feeling some of that energy that you felt when you were standing in front of your menorah. That leaping flame. And what's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch? Make a medura, where? V'sarfo b'fnei atzmo. Pshat, burn it on its own. Pnimius, sarfo b'fnei atzmo. Burn it inside of yourself. Sarfo b'fnei atzmo. It should leave a burning feeling inside of yourself. Shesarfo b'soch atzmo, v'libo b'pnimiuso. Shemadle kasaner b'soch atzmo, lios muchan l'avodas Hashem kol hashana. Whatever's left over, that little reshimo, that remnant, that mark that the oil made on you, has to burn within you for the entire year. Like Chazal say in Arvei Pesachim, Kol Shiros V'Tishbachos Sha'amar David B'Sefer Tehillim. Everything that David said in Tehillim, Keneged Atzmo Amar. Pashut Pshat, again, he was saying it about himself. Says Rav Nassim Gestetner, V'Hainu Sha'amar Mitoch Atzmiuso. Everything that David ever sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the deepest expression of who he was. It wasn't a superficial song. Like the Piazetzner writes, right? That for a person to be singing someone else's Nigud, it's like swallowing someone else's saliva. It's not you. It's not who you are. Right? A person, every soul has their own niggun to sing. That's what it means, sarfo b'fnei atzmo. That there should be a burning desire coming from the etzem mehus of who you are. U'ke'inyin kol atzmosai tomarna, Hashem michamocha. David Melch says, my entire etzem, my entire essence is screaming out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. V'lomen ha'safa v'lachutz. V'kamokein sarfo b'fnei atzmo, Besoch atzmiyusa. Chanukah has to burn. Chanukah has to burn within ourselves. In Aleilu L'Shabeach, Rav Zilberstein brings an amazing story about his wife. He told the story about his wife, who was no longer alive. Her name was Eliza Shoshana. that one time on Shabbos, they had the Shabbos candles burning, like we were learning yesterday, the strong relationship between Chanukah and Shabbos candles. So the Shabbos candles were burning on top of some type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Thing. What was it burning on?
A thing.
Like a thing in the dining room.
Shelf.
Okay. Well, no, it wasn't a table. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. Okay, so there was some type of table thing. Not a dress, like a dresser is what you put clothing in. But what do you call it? It's like a thing in the dining room?
A
what?
An end table.
Armor. Okay. So one time, it was Leil Shabbos, and this the candles were burning on top of this piece in the side of the dining room, and all of a sudden one of the candles fell over. Now the halacha is that you're not allowed to put out a fire on Shabbos. Obviously, if it's pikuach nefesh, you can. But if it's not pikuach nefesh, even if it means that your beautiful armoire, antique armoire that you recently had refinished, right, is going to be completely burnt and destroyed, then that's how it is. To not do a lo saseh, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you have to be prepared to give away all of your money. For mitzvah saseh, up to a fifth. To avoid a lo saseh, you have to give up all your money, which is a crazy and very intense concept. That means if you go for a job interview, and the guy who's interviewing you is a real schmoozer and he wants to talk Lashon Hara, you have to say to him, sorry, I can't comment on that. It's going to cost you a job, a very good job. It could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars to turn down the job but the halacha is, to avoid a lo saseh, I'm not allowed to do it. I can't, any amount of money in the world. I have to let my house burn to the ground. Again, there's a lot to think about. There's a beautiful piece by Rav David Kronglass, who was the Mashkiach in Neir Yisrael. He has a beautiful sefer. And he spends a lot of time thinking about that halacha. Because it's a very hard halacha to understand. Again, don't be an idiot. If your family's in danger, put out the fire. Chafetz Chaim says this is why a person has to know halacha. Because grama would be an acceptable way to put out such a fire. So instead of pouring the water right on the fire, if it's just a little flame and you see how it's spreading, it's not really going anywhere, so just pour like a pile of water around it and let as the fire spreads, let it extinguish itself. That's infinitely better than putting it out yourself. That you're allowed to do. You'd be allowed to do in such a case. Okay? But that's why you got to know the halachos of Shabbos, says the Chafetz Chaim. Anyways, this candle fell over. It clearly wasn't a danger, but the way that it was dripping, right, and the way that the fire was resting against this, the top of this piece, it was starting to make a hole in the piece. Okay, what happened? Let's read in the second paragraph. La'achar Shabbos higia ba'al malach lebeitenu. Zilberstein tells how after Shabbos, someone came to the house to fix something, kedei latakin davar acher, and when he saw the hole, kesheraz achor b'maznon, amr sheyesh b'sharus latakin es hanezek, he says, I can close up that hole for you. I'd be happy to fix it. L'skor asachor b'tzura amnutit. I could do it in such a way, in a professional manner, ashlo yuchu lahargish asachor klal, that you wouldn't be able to see the hole anymore. It'll look normal again. It looks strange now. There's a big hole, a gaping hole in the middle of it. Rav Zilberstein said, he was okay with the idea, with the suggestion, but his wife said, absolutely not. Ishti atzadkanit, my righteous wife, Marta Liza Shoshana, Allah Hashalom, sir v'letakin asachor. The tzaddikus that she was says, no, we're not fixing this hole so fast. Why would I want to erase the beautiful mark that Shabbos left on our home? Look how our commitment to Shabbos left a mark on our home. You think I'm going to so quickly have that removed? Adrabba. Sheyiru kol nechlasim lebeitenu. Whenever it comes to our house, they say, what's the story with that hole in the top of the armor? You'll be able to say, We were people who honored Shabbos. Shanachnu mokirim es haShabbos v'shomers al hilchoseh v'kapdonos rab. Even at great cost, we kept Shabbos. Zehu hakavod shalanu. Shanachnu mischabdim b'chor with a hole. Shenotzer al yedei shelo kibnu es hanemus. It's a sign of glory. It's a beautiful thing for a person to be able to look at it and to realize, look how Shabbos has changed my house. So that's exactly what we're trying to accomplish on Chanukah. There were some chassidim, some tzaddikim, who dafka put the neiros in such a way that the smoke would dafka blacken the walls. It's like that spot in my dining, you know, in our kitchen, right, where the havdalah candles is every single week. So I could get up there and scrub it after Shabbos. I could dafka hold the candle lower. I could say, no, what do you mean? That's the greatest kavod. To have my home marked, to be engrained into the walls and engraved into the walls of the home. Such a mark. That's the most gavaldic thing in the world. I found just this year, I picked up a sefer when I was in Eretz Yisrael. It's called Nesivas HaChassidus on page 9. And he says, Rav Shlomo Karliner was very into this. He was very into Chanukah, not only in a spiritual sense, leaving a mark on the house, but he wanted his home to look Chanukah did. He wanted it to be marked. As I was overflowing my menorah last night, and I was kind of watching the oil make its way, dripping its way down. I didn't really care if the oil was going to drip on the table. I was almost hoping that, I don't know if my wife was hoping, but I was hoping that maybe a little mark, some little mark of Chanukah on our home. Rav Shlomo Mikarlin, Zechasadim HaKadosh Levracha, despite the fact that candles of wax are in other ways not the most desirable, Rosh Shlomo Karliner said there's something very gavaldic about them. You know what's a proof? Because little kids like them. Kids do things best. Gemara says that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu took away Ruach HaKodesh, he gave it to the children. So children usually don't light with oil, although next year already, my daughter Zahava is talking, she wants to light with oil. I said, if you remember by next year, we'll light with oil. That was the deal we made. But what's the inyan of wax, right? The Maharal speaks at the end of the Ner Mitzvah, the inyan halacha, why wax is maybe not preferable. Rav Shlomo Karliner said there's something gavaldic about a wax candle. You know what it is? Kiba makom shehei medubakim b'koysel, nasa reshima b'koysel l'chol l'shanam. That wax, that smoke that's produced by the wax candle, the way that it's stuck to the wall, right? Stuck to the edge of the wall. It leaves a mark on the wall for the entire year. Lo kein b'shal shemen benorah ein nasa reshima. The oil of the menorah, the smoke produced by the oil of the menorah doesn't mark my walls in the same way. The oil itself, if it spills, maybe leaves a mark. But I like to use wax candles. Upamachas hidlik b'shemen b'menorah v'nasa sreifa v'dalak ha'kosel ma'at. One time he lit with oil, and unfortunately he had a little bit of a problem with it. The wall caught a little bit on fire, and by the time he extinguished it, there was a black mark on the wall. V'samach shenasa reshima b'kosel l'chol ha'shanah. And Rav Shlomo Karliner was not the least bit bent out of shape. In fact, he was so happy that he was able to continue his minhag of leaving a mark on the wall, even though he was using oil. And he was lighting with oil, which doesn't usually leave the mark with the smoke. And this year he was zocheh to leave a mark, even while using the oil of the menorah. The stama, most of us use oil. I imagine most people in the room use oil. And whether or not the oil left a mark on your table, or on your shirt, or on your wall, right, the ikkar is that the oil leaves a mark on us. That a person should be able to be sorry if whatever's left, minoyser kankan, and to be sorry for the atzma, to take it inside of himself, to carry it with him. I'll end with just something that I gave a shir at Stern yesterday, and I quoted this, and it's an amazing thing. It's kedai to quote. Because if the whole Indian of the Ivanim is lashkicham, they want us to forget, the way we fight back is to make sure we don't forget. Chanukah, not just not to forget on Chanukah, but to take it with us every step of the way. That it should be sorif bifnei atzma, it should be burning inside of us. A burning desire for a connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which the Ivan wanted to take away from us. So I'll just end with the Rachmei Av on page 10. Rav Yaakov Katina. Rav Yaakov Katina was a Av based in Chust. Rav Yaakov Katina wrote a small sefer, Rachmei Av, was also a last will and testament for his children. And he wrote down different ideas for them to think about. How to be good Jews. He tells an amazing story under the entry Zechira, to leave a mark, to remember something. Look what he writes in a few short lines. V'sipru b'shem hagon tzadik moreinu harav Mordechai Benet zechrono levracha zechatzadik levracha. Rav Mordechai Benet was one of the good friends of the Chassam Sofer. He's a little bit older than Chassam Sofer. Rav Mordechai Benet, when he passed away, the Chassam Sofer gave a hesped for him, and he said the loss of Rav Mordechai Benet was as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu lost his only child. That's a pretty strong lashon. Why was Rav Mordechai Benet like an only child to Kodesh Baruch Hu? Simply because he was a big Talmud Chacham. He remembered a lot of Torah. What's the ikar thing that we're trying to remember on Chanukah? What are the Ivanim taking away from us? And what's supposed to be left? What's the mark of the Shemen, which represents Chachma? But what's the ultimate Chachma? What's the mark that we're trying to leave on ourselves when we come to the end of Chanukah? Says Rav Mordechai Benet, what did he used to do? Shayaragul lichtov osios ba'avir velo yaduma. Rav Mordechai Benet, we used to go like this with his finger, like a conductor. He was writing letters in the sky. He'd be giving shir in Lamdas, in Halacha. He'd be giving some type of very deep shir on his bar mitzvah. He published 3 svarim. He was holding. He was mamash a genius as a child. And yet the Chassam Sofer said it was like a ben yachid to Kadosh Baruch when he passed away. What did he do for Kadosh Baruch? He wrote a lot of good svarim? True. It's true. He gave a lot of good shirim? Also true. You know what he did for Kadosh Baruch? The conductor is the most outstanding member of the orchestra, right? He's the one who holds the whole thing together. Mordechai Benet was the conductor. He was always busy with writing something in the air with his finger. He'd be giving shir, right? But on the side, his finger would be moving. But like in a very specific way, not just, you know, moving his thumb around like people do when they're giving a shir. And the Talmidim said, what's he doing? What's he so busy with all the time? Achir gishu pam echad jekosav. Ashrei ish shelo yishkachecha. One Talmud really did his due diligence and he paid close attention to what Rav Mordechai was writing in the air. And he realized that he was constantly writing over the words of the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. Ashrei ish shelo yishkachecha. Praiseworthy is the one who doesn't forget. Praiseworthy is the one who remembers you, Kadosh Baruch. It was his reminder to himself that even though I'm immersed in the shir that I'm giving, not for a second do I separate from HaKadosh Baruch. That's what the Yevanim wanted to take us away from. Lashkichem Torah Secha, to forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is exactly that. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. To live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Chanukah is, a crash course in getting reconnected to the light, the Pnimius HaTorah. The light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Or Sheba Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Or Ein Sof, as he's described in Sefer Chassidus VeKabbalah. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha to take whatever little bit of Chanukah we have left. It should leave a deep mark on our houses, and on our bodies, and on our clothing, and on our neshamas. And Mirtz Hashem will be able to walk through life, awesome, pronouncing everything about it should be saying, Ashrei ish shelo yishkachecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten the Chanukah. And I'll end with just a remez. Look at the words. Ashrei ish shelo yishkachecha. Right? Ashrei ish, praiseworthy is the one. Shelo yishkach chaf sofi. What's pshat? The Sfarim say that Chaf Sofit is the letter of Chanukah. Why? We know there are 613 mitzvos, 7 mitzvos derabanan. The last mitzvah derabanan is Chanukah. Mitzvah 620. The Vilna Gaon says, if you look in the Aseret HaDibros, which is the root of all of Torah, there are 620 letters. Which means the last word of the Aseret HaDibros, or the last two words, Asher L'Re'echa, are Merames of the 7 mitzvos derabanan. Which means that the last letter of the Aseret HaDibros, the Chaf Sofit, is the letter of Chanukah. Asher ish, praiseworthy is one, asher lo yishkach chaf sofi. Praiseworthy is one who holds on to Chanukah. Mir Tashem, Shmizocha, hold on to Chanukah for the entire year. Shkayah.